Freight consolidation. Freight costs are directly related to the size of the shipment and length of haul places a premium upon freight consolidation. Now, basically, consolidation is even more important when you have less than full load cargo. So, it's a function of the transporter and the logistics and the transportation team to ensure that similar or homogeneous cargo is pulled together and consolidated in one big truck and dispatched at the earliest so that it reaches the destination on time. Traffic management is a business function responsible for achieving freight consolidation. Cargo consolidation is a service provided by a freight forwarder in which several smaller shipments are assembled and shipped together to avail better freight rates and security of cargo. Here also you have transporters who specialize in such activities called the parcel load deliveries, etc., in particular regions of the country. So you will have a transporter specializing in deliveries to Gujarat, some in Kerala, etc. Load consolidation saves money in two ways. It improves truckload utilization, resulting in lower cost per shipment. It converts part loads into less expensive truckload shipments. Now, here, for our organization which is sending a less than truckload, this might not mean that they will get the rate of a full truckload for the part truckload shipment. What it means is the service provider will consolidate, ship it out fast, pass on some of the economies of scale to the customer if possible, else it will garner the profit. So it's on the logistics guy to ensure that when they have a dedicated less than truckload or part truckload transporter who is a specialist in a particular state or region, they pass on that benefit to the organization. Consolidation offers a customer service advantage by increasing the number of and frequency of collective shipments to specific customers or regions of the country. Now we come to the important concept of negotiation. For any given shipment, it is the responsibility of the logistics department to obtain the lowest possible rate consistent with service required. Now this RFQ is a formal document which is given to various transporters for them to quote, etc. In many organizations today, the concept of e-auctions is available wherein transporters don't need to physically come for negotiations. They can even do the negotiation on an e-portal wherein the lowest bidder will get the price. The key principle of carrier rate negotiation is volume is king, but profitability is queen. So volume and profitability should go hand in hand, in the sense that higher the volume you are able to give to a transporter, the more better rates you can get. But there also, let's not forget that old English idiom of that don't put all your eggs in one basket. So if you make a transporter really loaded with a lot of business, he might be giving you very, very good rates, but you need to have a backup, else split the business. Because tomorrow if something happens to that organization, you can suddenly find yourself without a proper transporter, without proper delivery mechanism, which will be disastrous for your organization. A shipper with enormous volumes can negotiate from a position of strength. Now, before we conclude our discussion on the transportation part of logistics management, it's important that we go through some of the finer details of road, sea, and particularly the air mode of transportation, things that we have not covered in our earlier discussion. So, to summarize, Road transport is an essential part of any transport activity, whether by rail, sea, or by air. Road transport offers door-to-door service to customers. Transport activity is of two types, motorized or power transport. And in order to optimize on cost, transport companies specialize in particular regions. Now, what can be the some probable problems of road transport, especially in India? There can be a fuel shortage, vehicle availability at times is difficult with increase in number of manufacturers. Situation is now eased, so you have people like Tata's, Mahindra's, Ashok Leyland's all in this business. The cost of components and accessories has gone up considerably, and the octroi and checkposts are too many, resulting in detention of vehicles, which is a perennial problem in India in terms of the time spent at the various checkposts as the vehicle moves through various states. The Motor Vehicle Act was designed a long time ago, regulating the issue of licenses and permits and movement of vehicles was very restrictive. Indian road conditions are very bad and hazardous. This has improved quite a lot in the last decade, and still improvement is necessary. Roadside maintenance and service facilities are inadequate. The system of national, zonal and state permits restricts the free growth. So suppose you are a transporter and you have bought a new truck or a vehicle or a tanker, you need to get either a national permit, which takes a bit of time to come, or else you have to get specific state permits. So, you know, this is at times referred to as the quote-unquote license Raj system, which needs to be loosened up a bit, needs to be broken. Now, booking of goods by road, how do you actually, the mechanism of booking of the road transport? Forwarding note, the owner of the goods has to declare his intention to get his goods transported by a carrier by executing a document called the forwarding note. This contains information on the consignor, consignee, originating destination and the final destination, and the terms and conditions by which the freight will be paid. Now, the goods consignment note or lorry receipt is a document, a legal document on receipt of the goods. The carrier issues the above document with details such as the goods accepted for dispatch, freight, whether it is prepaid or payable. This is very important and a point of debate and discussion in many deliveries. In many cases, trucks are sent on a two-pay basis, meaning when the material is delivered at the site of the customer will have to pay a pre-agreed freight while taking delivery of the goods. If it is on a prepaid or a to-be-billed basis, then the freight will be paid by the consignor on submission of the proof of delivery after the agreed credit period is over. On the back side are the printed terms and conditions, which are usually set forth in the Common Carriers Act of 1880 and forms a contract between the carrier and the consignor. There are certain general terms and conditions that the carrier is not bound to move the goods by any particular schedule or vehicle with no guarantee. In case of late delivery, the carrier cannot be held responsible. However, if there is a superseding transport contract between the parties and if it has a late payment penalty, then this point will not be valid. In case of loss damage of goods, the claim payable is restricted to the actual value of the goods, or if there is insurance, then through the insurance company. In case of obstruction en route due to floods, rain, etc., the carrier cannot be held responsible, but he needs to give a valid explanation. In India, many times during the floods, etc., bridges are broken. When a bridge is broken, you will have a huge queue of vehicles standing on the highway, and transit time is really adversely affected. Carrier can refuse to carry certain goods or certain class of goods. Some has category material. He might refuse if he doesn't have the necessary licenses. The warehouse man is responsible for the custody of the goods till the time loaded on the vehicle. Till the time the lorry receipt is issued, the ownership remains with the warehouse person. During transit, the transporter is responsible for loss, damage, deterioration, etc., except when it occurs due to an act of God, an act of public enemy, civil restraints, default on the part of the consignor, subject to transporter, providing that he made all efforts to avoid such a situation. After the goods are received at the destination warehouse, the delivery must be taken within a week and thereafter subject to warehouse charges. No inquiry of delivery is possible if it is not taken within 30 days. In case goods are subjected to quarantine, the transporter is required to hand over goods to authorities and his responsibility ceases. After the goods reaches the destination and are not collected within the free period, they may be moved at owner's risk with a written notice by the transporter to the owner. And in this case, as per the law of contract, the transporter has a lien over the goods. Unless the freight and demurrage is paid, he might refuse to hand over the goods to the consignor and the court the consignee appointed by the consignor. If the goods are of perishable nature and if delivery is not taken within 48 hours, the carrier may dispose of the goods by auction and recover his charges. If the consignee does not take the delivery of non-perishable goods within 30 days, the carrier may auction the goods after giving due notice. With the auction of the goods, the carrier is authorized to recover his freight, demurrage, etc. If the goods are dispatched from the owner to the freight office of carrier without regular freight agent, the goods lie at owner's risk. The delivery of goods is affected against the surrender of the GC note, and the carrier may levy special charges to carry goods at a carrier's risk. The delivery of goods after all charges are recovered is to be made. Unless special arrangement is arrived, the carrier is not expected to carry documents or articles of high value which are not published in the classification tariff or explosive goods. Now, whenever you have the act of transportation which is happening, you will always have questions about claim and damages. So, claims must be filed in writing within 7 days after the delivery of goods and be filed to the receiving carrier. In case of non-delivery, the claim must be filed within 60 days. Suits for claim must be filed in court within 9 months and 1 day from the date a note is given in writing by carrier disallowing the claim, and the claim must be filed within 6 months of booking. In deciding claims, the carrier gets the benefit of any insurance that may be taken by the owner. Premium is payable by the carrier. Storage of goods at transporter's warehouse is at owner's cost, except that the carrier's negligence is proved. Unless it is proved that the carrier was negligent, the risk of ownership lies with the consignor. Now, in all this, one thing that we have not yet discussed and we should discuss now is the how you select a carrier. Now, following factors need to be considered while selecting a carrier or a transporter: the constitution of the transporter's firm, the business turnover, area of operation, that is the geographical area of operation, offices, consignments, number of trucks owned by the carrier. It is very important to be on a safer side. You should always work with transporters who own their own trucks. Majority of the trucks that they send for picking up goods and delivering goods should be owned by them, and the fact that they should be of a particular industry. In the sense, if you belong to the pharmaceutical industry or a chemical industry, you would prefer transporters who are carrying already products of similar peer companies. The client's list, nature of contracts with other companies, reliability, the goodwill, normal transit time, expedition with which claims and damages are settled, reference from other companies, banks, transport associations, etc. Now, road transport infrastructure is also, as we discussed earlier, very important. It integrates the economy and links villages, cities and metropolises, etc. The present infrastructure is inadequate and needs improvement. The tax burden on road transport has been heavy, which we need to work upon. And once infrastructure development is done, road transport will take economy into the orbit of self-sustaining growth at a rapid pace, beside ushering in all-round modernization. This is what is the purpose of the various governments that have been in the country over the last few decades, and we are seeing sustainable development happening in this sphere. And with the development of road infrastructure, the economies of scale will be even more prominently felt in road transport logistics. Now we will come to the air part of it. So, air cargo offers the following advantages: creates new markets, extends markets, spreads seasonal demand, and extends the use of mobile production facility. It takes the risk of new markets. So, in this world when you have companies producing products in cheaper economies like India, China, etc., sitting in other developed nations, you need to have very fast mobility of products between continents. And that is what air transport actually provides as a big advantage. It offers the advantage of flexibility, security, and regularity in comparison with sea transport. However, all this comes at a very big cost, so it has to be used judiciously. The air cargo tariff structure is as per the IATA, the International Air Transport Association structure. There are general cargo rates constitute normal rates applicable for less than 45 kgs. Class rates, these are surcharged or discounted rates for classified items, valuable, etc. Specific commodity rates, heavily discounted rates between two points. The FAK rates that we read earlier, the government rates, and the unitization approach. So these are the various methods in which air cargo tariff is levied. There's another mode of transport which, especially in India, is not very popular, but it's a very cheap and efficient mode of transport. It's called the inland water transport. This is basically the waterways which connect the various Indian states and cities, and the use of the inland waterways for passenger and cargo movement. Due to the withdrawal of water for irrigation and competition from road and railways, inland water transport has lost traffic. Various reasons attribute for this: no coordinated policy, lack of awareness and administrative responsibility between the center and the states is at times not clearly understood, or nobody is willing to take full accountability of it. This is an area which needs development. Lack of proper administrative organization, and waterways are generally not classified. So there are various reasons why it is not popular, why it has not been exploited to the extent that it should have been exploited. Now, the National Transport Committee recommendations 1980, certain important rivers must be declared as national waterways. The constitutional position of navigable waterways must be amended to bring it under one unified control. Statutory bodies such as Inland Waterways Authority of India may be set up with the responsibility of conducting economic surveys to assess the future potential. Initial funds to set up the body and to purchase equipment, pricing policy and fair freight rates charged by transport operators of all modes must cover operating costs, and the working expenses would be higher because the initial lack of investment in the infrastructure of inland water transport. Ropeways also is a mode of traveling to hilly areas, long routes with streams and deep valleys where the haul is short, but it's not really very, very popular, and it is only used in niche or specific hilly regions. Similarly, pipeline movement, ideal means of transporting large quantity of liquids and gases over long distances. Coal, limestone, iron ore, copper concentrates can also be transported. Pipelines are the main mode of transporting crude petroleum products, and transportation of water and sewage in municipal systems is also done through the pipeline mode. Now, the pipeline mode of transportation has various advantages. They include that it is a reliable and continuous all-weather means of transport, very low energy consumption, so it's very green, eco-friendly, low operating maintenance cost, usually underground, hence space requirement is minimum, and a pipeline can traverse difficult terrain. Transit losses because of the continuity and less disturbance is very minimum. It's an ideal means of transportation for crude oil, petroleum products, cheapest mode, operation is continuous and silent, pilferage and other losses are very low, and the relief pressure on existing surface modes of transport. So you are not disturbing the surface at all. Now, all these modes of transportation leads to heaps and heaps of damages, losses, stolen items, meaning insurance claims if insurance policy has been taken. Now, what the claim procedure is a very complex process at times, so we need to know the things in slightly more details. An insurance is an act system of making an arrangement with an insurance company for the payment of money in the event of loss, injury or accident. Any item of value and interest can be insured, and there are many types of insurance like life insurance, fire insurance, medical insurance, marine insurance and insurance against third party risk. Insurance, industrial undertaking, plant and machinery located in a factory against fire and explosion, pressure vessels, plants and pressure apparatus can be insured, charcoal and inflammable stores, paints, diesel, etc. can be insured, cash and safe against burglary and house breaking. Vehicles, motor insurance can be done and is mandatory nowadays, inland stores, imported machinery and equipment against war, and insurance against strike, riots and civil commotion. Now the marine insurance policy is the type of insurance which in the modern business world we need to understand in the greatest detail. It covers approximate value of consignments to be received by sea, air, plus 70% of value to cover customs duty, freight and other expenses. The 70% of course will depend on organization to organization how much they want to cover. Purchase, case number, date, number of packages, etc. All the details need to be given. On making the payment, a certificate is issued. A general policy for the year can also be taken given the above figures. Now, in the case of imported consignments, when the cargo is discharged from the steamer or the ship, the agent consignee must examine the goods. In case of loss or damage, survey must be done within 3 days. If such request is not granted, a reply to be obtained from the agents. This will support the claim against the steamer agent for the claim. Filing claim with other carriers, after receiving the survey report, claim for damage or loss must be lodged in triplicate with the claim bill, invoice packing list, bill of lading, survey report, landing remark from the port authorities. Under the bill of lading clause, the maximum liability is about 100 British pounds per package. As per gold clause agreement, the carriers have consented to a maximum of £200 per package as a loss. Now, however, these figures will be changed in case there are country specific or certain additional notes there in the insurance policy. The following documents must be given when you are lodging with the insurance company: the BL, invoice and packing list, correspondence, survey reports. If claim against steamer agent is not settled within 6 months, it should be brought to the notice of the underwriters who have guaranteed to settle the claim. In case of landed but missing consignments, obtain a landed but missing certificate from the port trust with advice to the insurance company, and then follow the following formalities and lodge the document along with the IGM number. The IGM number is the import general manifest number, which is unique to each consignment which is arriving in the country. In case of shortage or damage is noticed at the consignee's end, claim with the insurance company to be lodged with the following: the DR number and date, the supplier's name and address, purchase order number, description of goods, BL or the airway bill or the railway receipt or the lorry receipt. Date of arrival of goods at the customer's go down, the date of examiner by the customer, exact nature of discrepancy, all these details need to be given in absolute detail. Claims for packages received in sound condition. In case shortages noticed, supplier to be informed to make up the losses. If supplier accepts the losses, claim with insurance company must be withdrawn. Consignee must lodge a claim with custom authorities for refund of the proportionate amount, and the claim must be lodged maximum within 6 months, otherwise it gets time barred. That means other things remaining the same, even if the case is genuine, it will not be entertained because the maximum time has been exceeded. For air postal consignments, recovery to be done in the same way as for steamer agents. For postal consignments, obtain a loss certificate from the postal authority at the destination and lodge claim within 1 month. In case of non-receipt of claim, to be lodged within 3 months from the date of booking. Now we come to the fleet management systems which are used by many transporters to address problems in fleet management and to monitor the usage of vehicles. Commercial organizations have designed automated control systems and other approaches to vehicle management. Example, analysis of the vehicles and driver performance, breakdown from driving reduces risk. So you can actually do a performance appraisal for your drivers and the other staff who affect directly or indirectly the fleet management of the company. Now, vehicle management systems are structured in a way that enables the capturing of information on various aspects of the fleet usage. Now, you want to understand if a particular driver is delaying in his deliveries every time. Is there a particular truck which is getting breakdown every month? So these are kind of fishbone analysis and things that we need to do to tackle the problems at the initial outset, not let them ponder, not let them go on for a very long time. Claim administration and auditing. A claim is a charge made against a carrier for loss, damage, delay or overcharge. Now we have gone through the detailed insurance claim procedure. This is relevant because all claims are not put to the insurance companies. There might be transportation contracts wherein the transporter might be taking the penalty for delays, breakages, shortages, etc. It is a demand in writing for a specific amount of money that contains sufficient information to identify the shipment received by the originating carrier and the delivering carrier. In reference to freight bills, the term audit is used to determine the accuracy of freight bills. Auditing involves checking the freight bills for errors, correct rate and weight. In terms of documentations, we will go through this in later chapters, but the bill of lading is a very unique and a very important document only specific to the shipping industry, which the captain of a ship or the master of a ship issues to the consigner saying that they have received the following products set to contain the material in these numbers in a good condition. It's required document to move freight shipment. It works as a receipt of freight services, a contract between a freight carrier and shipper, and it is a document of title. Unless a bill of lading is there, the consignee cannot clear the shipment from the port of destination. It's a legal and a negotiable document. A freight bill similarly is a bill rendered by a carrier to a consignee of freight containing an identifying description of freight. The freight bill may either be prepaid or on a collect basis. Prepaid means the transport cost is already paid by the shipper. This is similar to the CIF consignments. Then there is something called a shipment manifest. A shipment manifest is the details of the shipment. Complete manifest shows the contents, where the shipment came from and where it is going. It also includes who signed the package at the drop-off point. So with this, we come to the end of this chapter on transportation operations. Together with the second and this third chapter, we have covered in detail the basic niceties and nuances of transportation management. There are certain finer details like details about the bill of lading, railway receipt and other documents which we will go through in a subsequent chapter in small detail, not in much. These two chapters together will give you an holistic idea as to what important role transportation plays within logistics management. As we said earlier, a 45% cost item within the logistics belt. So this is the biggest pie, and any savings, any efficiencies done here will add to the profitability of the company and to the efficiency and pride of the logistics department. Thank you for listening.